Bonjour everyone and welcome back to Casser les lignes, the French football podcast with the accent brought to you by Breaking the Line. Of course, go and check out Breaking the Line's latest article on breakingthelines.com, whether it's an article on a successful coach like Erik ten Hag, who's really turning things around at Manchester United, or less successful experiment like Nathan Jones at Southampton and how it turned out to be a bit of a disaster. Anyway, always listen to the Breaking the Lines podcast and read all the articles. There's a lot of amazing information on this website. But today we're here to talk about Ligue 1 and a little bit of European competitions, because there was some European competitions last week and there are some this week as well. We will talk about Ligue 1. We'll talk about the fact that, well, the top three, the top four, even what I was saying this weekend, the top five is trying to keep up. Whether in the bottom five there is it's a bit harder, and we're starting to see maybe who's already condemned and who is trying really hard to follow them in Ligue 2. We are going to talk about, of course, Paris Saint-Germain and Marseille, and a little bit of a word on Lorient as well. And then we'll sort of like talk about all the other games that were on this weekend and a little bit of a look into the Europa League, because there's three teams playing the return game of Europa League this week, Nantes, Monaco and Rennes, and we'll check their chances at making it through to the next round. Casser les lignes starts now, but to start with, of course, as usual, music. So as I was saying, there were some European games this week. I mean, we're going to quickly say that Paris Saint-Germain was playing against Bayern Munich and lost, but we're going to go back to Paris when we talk about PSG Lille and what's going on right now in Paris. Paris wasn't able to win or to even get a result at home against the Bayern Munich, and some weird explanations after that from Galtier, from Christophe Galtier. But anyway, Bayern Munich comes home with a 1-0 advantage. And in the Europa League, it looked at one point that we were going to have a bit of a black week for France football, where is all the teams losing. But then they turned it around, and Monaco, although they were down at one point against Leverkusen, well, they turned things around and they won 3-2. When Nantes was down 1-0 against Juventus, well, they equalized and went back to 1-1. And Rennes wasn't able to come back. They were down 2-0 at halftime. They scored a goal in the second half, but they lost 2-1. I was going to say in Ukraine. It wasn't in Ukraine. It was in Poland. But again, the Ukrainian team, Shakhtar Donetsk, and those three teams are, of course, playing Thursday night or Friday morning here in Australia, 4:45 a.m. So what is it, 6:45 p.m. in Europe. Nantes against Juventus, and Monaco and Leverkusen at the same place. And then Rennes and Donetsk are playing together at 9 p.m. or 7 a.m. here in Australia. Good to have, you know, three French teams playing at home for the return game. But of course, playing against teams that, despite, I guess, their lack of form and maybe not the best first game, are three teams to take very seriously. Three teams that, of course, are coming down from the Champions League. So three teams that were somehow, well, you know, ranked better than not Monaco or Rennes were in Ligue 1, and three teams that we have to look after, look out for, I should say. Juventus, who did win 2-0, I would say, over the weekend in Spezia. Not anything great, because we know how struggling Juventus is. I mean, they conceded, they had less possession and they shot less on goal than what Spezia did, and yet they made it to win that game. When I looked at the stats and I checked out the highlights a little bit, when I saw that 75% pass accuracy for Juventus, I was a bit bamboozled. They're playing against the 17th in the league, and it's just terrible football. I mean, we know that there are some woes at Juventus at the moment, but my, under Allegri, this is just the worst football that I probably have ever seen Juventus played. But anyway, that's how the game ended, a 2-0 win for Juventus. And Nantes, in the meantime, sort of struggled to get a result against Lens. We will talk about it later, but they have a chance to make it through the next round in the Europa League. Nantes, and I think, you know, by resting Ludovic Blas over the weekend, they really count on trying to get Juventus out and to kind of like ride that wave and go to the next round of Europa League. So we'll see if they can make it. You know, I'm sure the Stade of La Beaujoire will be scintillating, will be bursting with energy on Thursday night. And I, for once, I am looking forward to it. Monaco, Leverkusen. Well, Leverkusen, they haven't had a great weekend. They lost 3-2 at home against Mainz. And some would say, you know, sort of like in similar fashion to what they did against Monaco. I mean, they were down 1-0, they equalized, they were down 2-1, they equalized, and then finally they conceded an 82nd minute by penalty. It's not obviously the same scenario as against Monaco, but it's 67% possession for Leverkusen, 21 shots, 7 on target, and you know, utter domination. Mainz finished with like 62% pass accuracy. They did get 7 shots on target, Mainz, and they scored 3 out of that, but I think they have just a big issue in front, Leverkusen, and they are not able to really solve it. But you know, I would hate for Monaco that they finally find the magic potion this week when they face the Monégasque back in France. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, though. So I think it's obviously something to be worried about. And Leverkusen is a great team with great talent. So if they can play what they're supposed to be playing, it could be dangerous. Of course, the little silver lining for Monaco is the injury of Moussa Djabi, the great forward for the great French international forward for Leverkusen, who's not going to be here to play the return game. So it could help Monaco not to face such a threat up front. In the last game that we'll see this week, Rennes against Shakhtar Donetsk. Well, of course, Donetsk, you know, except the game that they play against Rennes last week, we won't see much of them. They're not playing in the league right now, being a Ukrainian team. So, you know, they've shown that they were a good team. Of course, they're playing a little bit for a whole country behind them, so the motivations are different. But I'm sure at the Roazhon Park, Rennes will try and do whatever it takes to get through to the next round. That's what we have this week in the Europa League. Of course, there's no team playing in the Conference League this week because Nice is qualified directly for the next round, and then Paris will only play their return game against Bayern Munich in about a couple of weeks now. The first week of March is when Bayern Munich and Paris Saint-Germain will be played in Germany. All right, let's look at PSG in the domestic competition. So Paris was playing against LOSC Lille this weekend, and Paris won 4-3. Now, the goal scorer, Mbappé at the 11th minute, Neymar at the 17th minute, and then Mbappé at the 87th and Messi at the 95th minute. Between those two first goals and those last two goals, well, Lille had scored 3. Diakité at the 24th, Jonathan David by penalty at the 58th, and Jonathan Bamba at the 69th minute. So a lot has happened at the Parc des Princes on Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, I should say, Sunday evening here in Australia. And PSG finished with 12 shots, 10 on target, 46% possession. So Lille had the possession at the Parc des Princes. Lille finished with 16 shots, 7 on target. And yet, with a very last minute free kick by Lionel Messi and a nicely placed free kick, although I feel like Chevalier, the Lille goalkeeper, could have done better, Lucas Chevalier, Paris Saint-Germain was able to take the 3 points. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. You know, they had lost the last 3 games on all competitions, against Marseille in the French Cup, against Bayern Munich, and against Monaco. All of a sudden, I'm telling myself here, against Monaco, of course. And they haven't been, as we said in the past pod, they have been really, really far from convincing since the beginning of 2023. So they really needed to get that win against a Lille team that we know is very impressive this season, although what we saw is what we expect from Lille. They waste in front and they make mistakes defensively that are costly. The injury of Font, their captain and very experienced defender, of course, didn't help. Injured quite early into the game. But Lille pushed and Lille was rewarded by their push. And then, unfortunately, they were not able to keep it. Things started well, though. Paris Saint-Germain, they've put an intensity into that game that I've rarely seen them put in any game this season. I mean, I guess I'd say since after the World Cup, because before the World Cup, actually, they were playing all right. Since after the World Cup. And so the intensity was rewarded by that Kylian Mbappé goal, by that Neymar goal. And they kept pushing. And then as soon as Diakité sort of like reduced the score, it sort of like inverted the momentum. And Paris Saint-Germain, I feel, was stuck in between two ideas. Do you want to keep the result the way it is, or do you want to keep pushing? And that's not what Paris Saint-Germain excels. Paris Saint-Germain excels when they're trying to, you know, sort of like roll on you and really make a mockery out of you, and then they try to kill the game early, but they didn't do that, and they suffered, and then considered a penalty just before the hour mark, a bit of a silly one, and then Bamba's super goal at the 69th minute almost costed a lot to Paris Saint-Germain before, of course, Mbappé and Messi finally made the difference for Paris Saint-Germain. And what I want to sort of like bounce back from that game, of course a lot happened, and we're going to talk about the coach and the sporting director in a second, but I want to talk about what happened midweek against Bayern Munich. So when Paris Saint-Germain played against Bayern Munich and lost 1-0, Paris Saint-Germain put an experimental team, in the sense that they played a 4-4-2 that looked like a flat 4-4-2. So you had Hakimi, Marquinhos, Sergio Ramos, Mendes. Then you have Warren Zaïre-Emery, poor kid, 17 years old, not even. Verratti, Danilo Pereira, Carlos Soler, and up front, Messi, Neymar. And for the first 60-something minute, it was just Paris Saint-Germain getting completely abused by Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich getting all the possession, all the ball, and only scoring once, thankfully, for Paris Saint-Germain. But really, Paris not showing anything for themselves. And then finally, Mbappé comes in. Mbappé, who, you know, as a reminder, was supposed to be injured, and then finally came in to play and said in the post-game conference that he wasn't 100% ready, but he wasn't going to miss a game of that importance. And when Mbappé walked in, the whole dynamic changed, the whole momentum changed. And then Paris Saint-Germain was dangerous, and Benjamin Pavard, the Bayern defender, got a second yellow and got a red card. So Paris kept pushing. They were not able to score, but they kept pushing. And then after that game, in the post-game conference, Galtier said, "Don't think I'm happy about how we played. We played how we could with the players that we could play with. And that's why the tactic was to basically sort of like defend and cement and try and sort of like calm Bayern down until Mbappé was coming in. And then we knew that we could be dangerous offensively." Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have Messi and Neymar up front, you have the power to bother any team. And for a coach who has such talent in its team to say that when we're going to receive Bayern Munich at home, our tactic is to defend and wait for the 60th or 65th minute for Kylian Mbappé to walk in. When you have Verratti, Lionel Messi, Carlos Soler, you have Vitinha on the bench, Fabian Ruiz on the bench, you have Hakimi, Mendes, Ramos, Marquinhos in your squad. I'm not going to talk about Zaïre-Emery because he's young, but you got all this talent all around. And you're saying that you just wanted to defend because you were scared of that Bayern Munich team at home, not in Germany, at home at the Parc des Princes. Your tactic was, let me defend. You got Hugo Ekitike on the bench, 35 million euros. You got, you know, Juan Bernat that you didn't come in. You have the experience. You have the players that can do it. And your tactic was, we're just going to wait it out because they are so strong offensively, and hopefully when Mbappé comes in, he can make the difference. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if he just said that, you know, sort of like afterwards to try and kind of remove a little bit of pressure on his players who got walked on for the first half. But I thought this was incredible to hear. So, you know, maybe it's a bit of BS. You know, we know that Galtier is very good at communicating. Maybe he's sort of like trying to remove a little bit of that pressure on his players and to take the pressure on himself, which is what, you know, good coaches would do, and to be criticized instead of seeing his player being criticized for basically not being able to keep their head up against Bayern Munich. But man, when I heard that, I was like, is that really what Paris Saint-Germain is doing now when they play in the Champions League? If they don't have Mbappé, they are just defending and playing a low block, parking the bus, and hopefully when the French international comes in, hopefully we can be a little bit dangerous offensively. Never mind the guy who won the World Cup or that number 10 who costs 300 million a year or something like that. I was a bit baffled, a bit bamboozled by that post-game conference. But then come the weekend and Mbappé plays and all of a sudden they play offensively for the first 20 minutes. And I'm like, well, I guess maybe Paris Saint-Germain had hit the rock bottom and are finally jumping back in and are finally finding their mojo and playing offensively. And then boom, boom, they almost do 3-2. They get the result thanks to their individualities. It was really, again, a story of a bunch of individualities playing against a good team who plays together. And Paris Saint-Germain, except the first 20 minutes and the last 5-10, just weren't really in the game. And that's scary to see. That said, you know, those games, you know, winning against Lille is something that can put them into confidence. Of course, playing against Marseille on the weekend will, you know, will self-motivate Paris Saint-Germain, and I unfortunately expect them to go and win at the Stade Vélodrome because it's the kind of game that they strive on, and then they play against Nantes before playing the Bayern Munich again. So they have time to sort of work on their confidence and to make sure that everybody is ready. You know, a blessing and a curse. Neymar got injured this weekend against Lille. It's a curse because he's a great, talented player. It's also a blessing because I think without Neymar, Paris is just better. Without one of the three up front, and I think they're better. And even without Mbappé, I think they could be better with just Messi and Neymar. But of course, Galtier thought otherwise against Bayern Munich. But yeah, that's a bit what happened with Paris Saint-Germain this week, that I was a bit surprised. And then, you know, sort of like the bouquet final, the final touch was this circus on the sideline against Lille, the circus that sporting director Luis Campos decided to bring in and decided to come from the stands and down to the locker room, and then from the locker room went and became the coach instead of the coach and started berating the fourth referee and just sort of like yelled at the player louder than what the coach would, and Galtier sort of stayed behind. And again, Galtier, being the great communicator that he is, in the post-game conference, well, he tries to calm it down. He's tried to like say that it's just passion and he doesn't have any issue with passion, and he understands that sometimes that's how people are sort of like expressing their passion, etc. But I'm just a bit whatever is going on at that Paris Saint-Germain club, right? It looks like every single week there's something different. There was those comments from Mbappé after the game against Bayern: we should all eat well, sleep well, and then we'll be better. And then literally 24 hours later, you had Neymar posting on social media that he had played poker and ate and at a McDonald's or something like that, just looking like, you know, he was sort of like mocking his teammate. There's all those off the pitch noise that they really don't need, and that they keep sort of like, you know, bringing more oil to the fire, and I think they don't need that. So anyway, Paris Saint-Germain lucky somehow to have gotten the 3 points of the weekend in a situation where they want to be before they play against Marseille, first against second. It's always good to see PSG Marseille when it's first against second. They are 5 points away from Marseille, so even if they lose at the Stade Vélodrome, well, it's not that bad for Paris Saint-Germain, so they can afford it. But like I said, I think it's the kind of game where they're going to sort of like transcend themselves and find their new them and really try to push them. With those 3 goals conceded, though, against Lille, well, they're now the fourth defense in the league. PSG, they're usually the first defense by a mile, and now they're, doing less good than Lens, than Nice, and then Marseille. Like I said, it might change this weekend when they go and play at the Vélodrome. But yeah, Paris Saint-Germain, every single week there's stories, and I think it'll be good for them if we only talk about football and not about what happens on the side of the pitch. Anyway, that's a lot about the capital. Let's go to the other game. Let's go to their number two. Let's go to the le dauphin, as we call it in French. In French, we call the number two the dolphin. Like the crown prince is the dolphin in French. It comes from an old middle age saying we don't have time to talk about right now. Marseille was traveling to Toulouse. Toulouse, one of the informed teams of this second part of the season. And Marseille, you won 3-2. Same thing with if not luck, with a bit of tension. Toulouse scored first by Tige Dalinga at the third minute. I think it's 3 goals in 4 games for the former Eerste Divisie, the second division in the Netherlands. He was the best goal scorer last year in that division. And then Mbemba, Under and Tavares scored at the 52nd, 59, and 78th minute to give Marseille a 3-1 advantage before Ado Onewood, the Japanese international, scored the goal at the 87th minute and made the final 5 minutes tense for the Marseille ranks. A bit of controversy during that game, a bit of refereeing controversy, maybe a red card forgotten for Marseille, maybe Stéphanie Frappard, the referee, the first woman referee to ref at the World Cup, was on an off day, is what at least the Toulouse coach said after the game. But in injury time, there was 5 minutes of injury time, and during that injury time, Marseille probably lost 2 minutes and a half talking or protesting, and Stéphanie Frappard did not leave an extra second of injury time. She even stopped at 4:58, I think, where she should have at least let the game go to minute 7 or minute 8 with all that stoppage time. But anyway, she decided otherwise, and good for Marseille, not great for Toulouse. Yeah, red card for Veretout maybe could have been justified. There was one for the exact same thing given to Savanier from Montpellier a little bit earlier. But that didn't happen. And Marseille, you know, Marseille, well, they feel every week, you know, they kind of feel the same. They're a bit fragile in the first half. They tend to leave themselves open, and then the machine comes in, whatever Tudor says during the break in the locker room kind of work, and then kind of like a road roller, they just start putting the machine in place, and then they start pushing and pushing and pushing. They had opportunities in the first half, don't get me wrong. They definitely wasted a few opportunities in Marseille, but in the second half, they were just lethal, and maybe the less good opportunities is what brought the goals in the end, and Marseille ended up with that 3-2 win, which is crucial, which is very important. We could see the reaction of Igor Tudor at the end of the game, really celebrating, shaking his assistant near the bench, because, you know, it allows him to remain 5 points behind Paris Saint-Germain before that crucial game next week. It also allows them to resist Monaco, who is definitely on their heels, and so is Lens. And it looks more and more that, you know, it's going to be this 2-3-4. I don't know in which order that is going to stay there, and hopefully so that Ligue 1 is fun until the end, hopefully either of the three can actually go and bother Paris Saint-Germain up front. But as we know, if Paris doesn't go through against Bayern, then they might just finish the season in free, not 3-4, but on the other way around, like in a free ride, and all of a sudden start scoring 5-6 goals per game and take the title. If they do go through against Bayern Munich, and if they do go through by leaving a bit of force there, then it could be a fun end of Ligue 1 season. We'll see how that goes. Marseille-Toulouse anyway. Toulouse, you know, it's important, I think, to talk about them. They don't have a great defense. They conceded 42nd time. I think there's only the back four of the on the table have conceded more than them. But they are such a fun team to watch play. I think they are just missing... They're just missing one of two players of really high quality to help the Van den Boomen and the Dalinga and the Dessler and the Rouault of their team. And maybe a little bit of stamina. They're great during that first half, and I've seen that several times before, even against Paris Saint-Germain. They're really good when they start the game, and then the stamina just doesn't follow. They suffer as the minute goes, and then they're struggling to keep it up in the second half. But it is such a fun team, you know, just promoted. And they're really pushing. They are obviously nowhere near being relegated. They are nicely at the 11th place with 32 points. So that they're probably more looking up than looking down. But it'll be interesting to see next year if they keep building the way they're building, with a team with a bit more experience under their belts. It's a team that, you know, could be the next Lens. I wouldn't be surprised if next year they're in like 7th, 6th or 5th place, because the football played is just fun to watch, and it's just good football, and they have talent. They just need to harness that talent to make sure that it keeps going for a whole 90 minutes. Talking about harnessing the talents, I mean, we have to talk about them, right? Reims. Nice against Reims finished at 0-0. Reims wasn't lost since 1973. I'm exaggerating, but Reims under Will Steele, the interim coach, turned number one coach, of course. Who just doesn't lose. They play against Nice. Nice, mind you, 16 shots, only one on target. It was an odd to the epitome of opportunity wasted was Nice over the weekend. The amount of time the wrong choice was made, the wrong last pass, the wrong last shot. They had so many opportunities that could have been better, and they didn't make them better. Reims could almost thought they were going to steal that game with a penalty that Balogun obtained and try to transform, but great save by Kasper Schmeichel. Kasper Schmeichel, who's quite under the spotlight for all the wrong reasons a month and a half ago, and you know, all the Nice supporter was saying how bad the keeper was, and why did we get him, and why didn't we keep Bulka, who's on the bench and was such a great keeper, etc., etc. Well, it turns out that slowly but surely he's actually showing how good he can be, and he's having some good games the past month and a half since JJ Giga took over, and Kasper Schmeichel will save them over the weekend with that penalty that he pushed away, and then after that Balogun just couldn't really score on the rebound, because he was the closest on the rebound, but a bit of a miscommunication I think with Maolida cost him that. You know, Nice, I guess they have some good players. I wasn't impressed this weekend. I thought they could have done better. I know it's a complicated team to break down defensively, Reims, but yeah, I expected much more from them. Nice, they weren't able eventually to do what they're supposed to do, and 0-0 between two teams who are in very good form and who are you know, not going too high on the table. I mean, Nice is 8th and Reims is 10th. Reims with 13 draws, though. It's pretty impressive. 13 draws in 24 games. I don't know if we see that often in Ligue 1. But yeah, Nice probably hoped that, you know, a result would have sort of like put them at the same level or like a point behind Lille, and maybe then sort of like reactivated their pursuit for European competitions. But they still sit 5 points behind Rennes and probably hope that the sixth spot will be qualifying for the Europa League, and then they can try and play for that spot. 0-0 over the final score, and Reims, like I said, undefeated forever now. It's good to see. It's good to see what Reims does and what Will still does. A young coach. I like a young coach. Who doesn't like a young coach? Let's go all the way north. Now we're all the way south, and let's check Lens against Nantes, and Lens who finally get back to winning ways. 3-1. David Machado at the 34 minutes. If you liked David Machado last week when he scored this beautiful goal from that side of the box, right-footed, top right corner, you will love David Machado 2.0. Same difference. Outside of the box, the ball comes out, right foot, top right corner, cleaning all the cobwebs. He's just making it his specialty. He scored the first goal at 34 minutes, imitated 2 minutes later by Adrien Thomasson, the former Strasbourg player, and then an own goal from Charles Traoré sealed it for Lens. In the meantime, Florent Mollet from Nantes had scored at the 40th minute. Lens, who finished with 58% possession, 19 shots, 6 on target, and Nantes with 6 shots, 3 on target, seemed to be more preoccupied about the clash against Juventus than about Ligue 1. And maybe it's understanding, but Nantes is playing some good football. You know, the first goal, or the second goal, I should say, Joao Victor gives the ball back to Thomasson, unfortunately. Traoré on goal for the third goal. But besides that, you know, Mollet, Moses Simon, Mostafa Mohamed, I think up front were pretty interesting. Korsia's doing good onto the right wing, and you know, Kirivella was left on the side. You know, Delors was on the bench. Blas didn't even play a minute. So they left themselves a bit of sort of like assets on the bench so that they could be ready for the return game. Lens, of course, they want wins. They were a bit on a slippery slope. They had to get back to winning ways to try and make sure that Monaco and Marseille weren't going too far. They hadn't won in 4 or 5 games now. So good for Lens that they were able to get a win back and not letting, you know, Monaco and Marseille fly away too much. They are fourth on the table with 49 points, a point behind Monaco, 3 points behind Marseille, and I'm sure they intend to stay so close. The players coached by Frank Hez, there's been a bit of change, of course, at Lens, but they're trying to go back to their stability. Fulgini and Thomasson seem to be installed right now in the middle of the park. It's just a matter of making it work between Machado on the left, who scored 2 in 2 goals now, and Frankowski on the right. Maybe they found a bit of stability. We will see. We'll see very soon. Because on the weekend, they're playing against against Montpellier. And then they have that quarterfinal against Nantes again. And then they're playing Lille. So it's 3 games that are going to tell us if Lens is ready to compete until the end or not. We're talking about the top of the table and how Monaco is doing well. Well, Monaco, they were playing in Brest over the weekend and they won 2-1 courtesy of Alexander Golovin at the 39th minute and Myron Boisdou at the 73rd minute. Jérémy Ledouaron scored at the 86th minute, but it was too little too late, despite Brest being probably as good as I have seen them, maybe even since the beginning of the season. It's not a team that I hate, Brest. I think they do okay. I just think there's a bit of a lack of luck and a little bit of a lack of talent sometimes, despite, you know, loving Jérémy Ledouaron up front. But they got Kevin Lala now. They got Albert Ellis on the right. You know, of course, Liz Melou has always been here. Magic Camara is finding his feet. Belkabla and Del Castillo as well. So it starts to look like something a bit better. Of course, Monaco is like intenable in that second half of the season. Ben Yedder, I think, ends up with two assists. One assist for Ben Yedder, one for Matsima. But Ben Yedder is just instrumental in everything that happens. That you know, cut back pass for Golovin was as inspired as it was precise. And despite, you know, sort of, I don't know if they were resting player Monaco, but they were definitely, putting Matsima as right back because they have players injured, but they could have sort of tried and find a new formation, but they didn't even look for it. So they're sort of like, I'd say they are good at managing what they're doing right now, and they knew Brest wasn't the most dangerous team, but they still had to pay attention, and they did the job. Scored twice, and then only conceded late in the game, and conceded a bizarre goal. Alexander Nubel, I don't know what he anticipated, but he was almost out of his goal while the shot was made. So it's unfortunate that they couldn't get a clean sheet, Monaco, but they keep winning, and I think winning ways is what matters sometimes, especially when you're playing every 3 days against a team like Bayern Leverkusen on the midweek. So good for Monaco that they were able to get that result before a derby of the South. That sounds promising against Nice. The other results of the weekend, a little bit quicker. I didn't have time to watch all those games. But Lyon, well, we thought that they were finally sort of like healed and going back to win his ways. And he was 3 wins in the last 4 games. And finally, the Lyon DNA works. And then Lacazette gets injured. And it looks like one person is missing you and the whole world feels empty. A 2-1 loss against Auxerre. Auxerre, who's everything but a great team this season. They're really struggling. And yet, the goal from Moussa Dembélé at the 36th minute wasn't enough for Lyon, who then conceded twice in 2 minutes after halftime. Gareth Perrin on penalty at the 51st minute, and Jubal at the 53rd minute made the difference for Auxerre and Lyon, who's unable to keep a result that they kind of needed to try and keep going back up on the table. And they didn't change much on their composition. I mean, maybe Barcola was on the bench, but that's about it. The rest was their usual team, minus, of course, Lacazette, but that wasn't just enough for them. And now Auxerre were very happy to take those 3 points because it allows them to leave the 19th spot to get to 18th, just in front of Ajaccio, but to be also only 2 points behind 15th place, only 3 points behind 15th place Strasbourg. And maybe they're seeing a little bit of light at the end of that tunnel. Auxerre, mind you, they're playing, Lorient, Nice, and Auxerre, and Rennes, excuse me, in the next 3 games before a stint that could be seen as a death stint between Strasbourg 3 and Ajaccio in 3 consecutive weeks. That's going to be, pretty capital in the race to stay in Ligue 1, those 3 games for Auxerre at the beginning of mid-March and beginning of April. Next game up was Strasbourg against Angers. Talking about the game of death. Strasbourg and Angers both at the bottom of the table, and Strasbourg was able to win it. A double from Habib Diallo. Strasbourg with their new coach, Frédéric Antonetti, who knows well the northeast of France because he was coaching Metz for a while. He's back in Strasbourg and he's bringing winning ways with him. A good win, 2-1. Nabil Bentaleb scored for Angers on penalty at the 73rd minute, but that wasn't enough for Strasbourg, who were dominated. 64% possession for Angers, 10 shots, 3 on target. But Strasbourg in counter-attack, 18 shots, 5 on target. They are playing the Antonetti game, and so far it's working for them. And they get out of the relegation zone thanks to that win, Strasbourg. Lorient-Ajaccio was another game playing this weekend, another team that's struggling. Ajaccio, where Lorient were here to just punish them. Bemba Dieng on penalty at the 6 minutes. Romain Fèvre at the 43rd minute, the 2 recruits from the Winter Mercato, and Julien Ponceau, the young number 10 who scored his first goal in Ligue 1, scored at the 58th minute. Lorient, who dominated, 59% possession, 10 shots, 6 on target, and Ajaccio, who tried to operate in counter-attack. They're just a little bit clumsy up front, Ajaccio. They've been since the beginning of the season. They're a better defense than they are in attack, but when you concede 3 goals, then there's not a lot that you can do. It's not all dead for Ajaccio. They have 18 points, so they are right with Auxerre and a point behind 3, 2 points behind Brest, 3 points behind Strasbourg, but it's hard, out of all the teams that are at the bottom, it's hard to see them being able to get out of it. We would have to see something completely new that I'm not seeing so far from the Corsican club. So if they don't want to go back straight away to Ligue 2, they really have to start expressing themselves a little bit better offensively. Of course, they have all those injuries every time, and that would help if they get all their player back. Another game that was more for the top of the table, Rennes against Clermont, and Rennes, thanks to their former Paris Saint striker, Arnaud Kalimuendo, former Paris Saint-Germain and Lens striker. Arnaud Kalimuendo scored twice, 37th and 64th minute, and a 2-0 win for Rennes, who can thank their keeper, Mandanda, who was in form, only 3 shots on target for Clermont, but 3 beautiful saves for the former Marseille goalkeeper, and Rennes took the 3 points with the possession, 60% possession, 18 shots, 6 on target, so they deserve that win as well, but I'm sure they'll be happy to as well. They have been a bit up and down, they were on 2 consecutive losses, Rennes, and so that win allows them to see off Lille, get 2 points away from Lille, but also to take back their spot on 5th on the table. And then the last game that we didn't talk about was Troyes against Montpellier. I'm going to write an article about Troyes coach Patrick Kisnorbo because he's Australian and like everything Australian, obviously, living here. It's trouble down for Troyes. They almost had made it against Montpellier. They almost got a point. But at what cost, though? It was a pretty terrible game of football. But Wahbi Khazri scored at the very, not the last minute, but at the 90th minute and won 1-0 for Montpellier. But on that goal, the Troyes defense is just appalling. Nothing happens. There's a ball in the air. Nobody attacks it. Montpellier has way too much time. And then, unfortunately, Gallon, can't make the save twice and end up conceding from a tight angle. 2 red cards were given during that game. 1 for Yade from Troyes and 1 for Savagnier. Both of them, actually. I don't know if they're both red cards. They're both strong yellows. I'm not sure if either was red card. The Savagnier one, if you give him a red card, then you're gonna have to give a red card to Veretout against Toulouse for Marseille. But yeah, the difficult decisions were made, but they were made. And so 1-0, the score for Montpellier. Montpellier, who under former / new coach Michel Derzakarian, win twice in 2 games, which is great for the player of La Payade. They won against Brest last week 3-0, and now they win against Troyes. They needed that. They're playing Lens next week, but then after that, it's Angers, Ajaccio, and Clermont. So, you know, three teams that are maybe sort of like closer to what they can do, and if they get results in those 3 games, well, they probably will say goodbye to the relegation zone. So they are 26 points right now. They needed those wins to take a little bit of air, the Montpellier team. That's it for match day 24 in Ligue 1 at the table. Paris Saint-Germain is up front, of course, 57 points, followed by Marseille, 52, Monaco, 50, Lens, 49, and then there's a bit of a gap, 6 points between 4th and 5th place. Rennes at the bottom, we said it, Angers, 10 points, is almost condemned now to Ligue 2, we said it every single week. And then Ajaccio, Auxerre with 18, Troyes 19, Brest 20, Strasbourg 21, and Montpellier with a bit of air, 26 points. On the goal-scoring ladder, well, we have 3 players at 15 goals, Balogun, David, and Mbappé with his brace over the weekend, followed by Lacazette and Ben Yedder at 14 goals each, a few good goal scorers. In Ligue 1, on the assist ladder, Neymar is up front, 11, followed by Messi, 10, and Jonathan Clauss, 8. This week, we said it, 3 games in Europa League for the French teams, Nantes against Juventus, Monaco against Bayer Leverkusen, and Rennes against Shakhtar Donetsk, and this weekend, a lot of action, a few derby, and a classic, of course, Lille against Brest, Angers against Lyon, Montpellier against Lens, Lorient against Auxerre, Clermont against Strasbourg, Ajaccio against Troyes, Reims against Toulouse, and then a couple of important derby, Nantes against Rennes for Brittany, and Monaco against Nice for the crown of the Southeast, and then we'll finish on Sunday night, Monday morning here in Australia, by a Marseille-Paris Saint-Germain second against first that promised to be just amazing, just a firecrackers. I'm not even finding the right words for it. One day I'll learn to speak English again. Fireworks will be for the end of the weekend. Thank you very much for listening to Casser les Lignes once more. I'm already feeling the anxiety of the weekend game, Marseille against Paris Saint-Germain. Everybody knows I'm a Marseille fan, and I'm looking forward to that game, and hopefully we can repeat what we did in the French Cup and get a win against the rival, and it could make the end of the season pretty interesting if we end up 2 points behind Paris Saint-Germain before they have to think about Champions League, and where we only play 1 game a week, despite, of course, the the French Cup. We'll see. That's for next weekend. The chances are that I'm coming back onto the pod just sad because Paris Saint-Germain did what they should do, what they could do, which is dominating Marseille and just letting that firepower up front talk for itself. Thank you for listening to Casseline. Thank you for following Breaking the Lines every week, and I'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ciao.